T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome back to Overnight America. It's one of my favorite things that we do on this radio program, which is connect with our friend Drex, who hosts The Late Shift across the Chorus Radio Network. So we connect all of North America with the large spanning signal of KMOX plus all of the different stations that they reach. Let's bring them together now.
Voice of St. Louis.
He should be there right now. Ryan Recker, welcome back to the Canadian Airways.
Hello, Drex. How are you?
I'm good, sir. Happy National Radio Day.
I know. Happy National Radio Day. Are you surprised we get our own day?
I think we get 2 days. We get National Radio Day, and then we get World Radio Day.
Oh, I didn't know there was a distinction between the two. Okay.
Yeah, there's two. Do you have a favorite radio song?
Yeah, I always like that one, Elvis Costello, when he did that radio, because I used to watch SNL, but that was a
cool
pretty
song,
good one.
Yeah.
I've learned a few new ones tonight. There was one by, let's see, which one was it? Sleeping with the Radio On, Charlie McLean. That was a pretty good one.
Sleeping with the you know what? I'll put that on my playlist, because I've built a playlist on Spotify of all songs about radio. I sent you the link earlier.
Yes, and there's one by Taffy called I Love My Radio. And I've never heard those songs before today, but I fell in love with them listening today for the first time.
Have you ever heard of the English band known as The Members?
No, I have not.
They did a great song about radio. Have a listen to this. Anyways,
than a stereo. So you mean like an album, a record player hooked up to a system?
Because
I mean, you would listen to the radio on a stereo. That's kind of how they work, right?
Did you grow up with one particular radio guy or gal that you're like, yeah, they're cool, I have to listen to every single show that they do?
Oh, yeah. When I grew up in Detroit, I used to listen to a morning show called Drew and Mike. They were pretty popular in that area, and they were also, you know, they had some national notoriety. I think they were the highest rated morning show that wasn't syndicated in the country, so they were very popular in that area. So that was my show. What about you?
I used to listen to a bunch of different shows, but I used to listen to this local guy called Michael, who I eventually ended up working with many years later.
He just went by his name, Michael, just one name?
His name was Michael. I don't want to put his last name on the radio because he's kind of private these days. But yeah, Michael used to do the morning show on this radio station called 4SS, and I used to listen as a little kid. And many, 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 many years later, I rocked up to this station as the PD, and he was the morning guy on one of the stations I was looking after.
How about that?
Yeah.
There's a great radio song about a morning guy, that WOLD, the Harry Chapin song. You know that one, right?
I think I've heard that one. Not been a long time, though.
WOLDDDDD. And it's about basically, what is he writing? A letter to someone. He's doing a morning show somewhere and hasn't talked to her in a long time or something like that. It's pretty good.
It's like an on-air poem that he wrote to his long-lost lady friend.
Something like that. There's a couple of really good ones. Everclear did one, AM radio, late 2000s. Did you have that one in the rotation?
Yeah, I did a bit of a montage earlier that I played on my show, and I found about 10 or 12 different songs that I built into that, including Donna Summer's On the Radio.
Oh, that's a pretty good one.
You remember that one?
I might have to start adding some of these songs onto rotation in the radio show here. They're just really enjoyed listening to them lately.
I'm playing all radio songs at the end of every hour on our show here in Canada tonight. So, anything themed radio, we're probably going to spin it tonight.
What about Joe Walsh had a song called The Radio Song Video? The Radio Song. And at the very start of it was Wolfman Jack. Were you a Wolfman Jack fan?
I am a Wolfman Jack fan. Did you see recently that the company that owns the rights to his voice, which is a strange thing to say to begin with, have now, because you can buy him in syndication, right? He now is introducing bands like U2 and The Police. Like, I don't know how they're doing this. It's like it's audio deepfakes.
I haven't seen, I actually haven't heard the radio program. I've seen where they put out the literature to try to get affiliates to pick up the show, which I don't think is going to be that hard for them to do that. That's actually a really neat idea. But I wonder how much audio they have to work with, how much has been archived.
Oh, hours and hours and hours. He was also on, Matt, was it the Guess Who clap for the Wolfman? He was on that song too, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Right, yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, here we go.
Oh, yeah. I thought about doing an entire show as Wolfman Wrecker one night. What, is that a good idea?
I think the only wrecking that would be happening is to your voice.
Oh, I'd be done. I'd have to wait for a Thursday, and it'd take me a few days to recover after that.
Hey, I heard you guys are getting an MLS team. Is this correct?
It's a very big announcement in St. Louis. Major League Soccer Commissioner Dan Graber was in town. We knew this would happen a week ago, and we were just waiting for that official announcement to drop, which was earlier today. Everyone's very excited about it here in St. Louis. We've had a lot of successful sports things happen all in the last year. You know, we win the Stanley Cup, and now Major League Soccer is going to be coming in. Cardinals are playing really well. We had some other professional teams play. Like, we have some Olympic trials that are going to be happening here soon. The NHL All-Star Game's happening this next season. There's so much going on sports-wise that this is just another one to pile on top. It's been great.
Have they released a name of the team, or just the announcement that you're getting an expansion team?
No, they have not announced a name or the colors yet. Apparently, they go through a formal process. I have my own recommendation of what they should call the team. I want them to be called the Gooey Butter Cakes.
The Gooey Butter Cakes. It's likely going to be something lame and boring like St. Louis FC.
Probably. What about Gooey Butter Cakes? What do you think of that one?
Gooey Butter Cakes. It's different.
It's popular here, the Gooey Butter Cakes.
Look, if there's different baseball team names from around the United States that I always think are interesting. So so if we can have teams like the Macon Bacons and the Toledo Mud Hens, then can't we have the Gooey Butter Cakes?
I like the Mud Hens. I've been to a few Mudhead games. When I was living in Indiana, there was the Tin Caps, which is pretty good. Like when you think of the Johnny Appleseed, you think of the Tin Cap. You know, they depict him sometimes with this pot on his head. But there was one, I still have a t-shirt for it. I think it's in Alabama, the Scrappers. I love that name too for a baseball
team. That's a great name for a baseball team. Why the what was the other one you were going to call the soccer team? What were you going to call them again? The Gooey Butter Cakes? Why the Gooey Butter Cakes?
Well,
the,
that's popular here. There's a few food items that are popular regionally. There's toasted raviolis popular here. We have
Maybe it could be the raviolis.
The T-Ravs. That could be related. I want it to be something food related. I want it to be. I love food. I love talking food. I love fast food. I love anything that's food related. And think of the merchandising opportunities. You put T-Ravs or Gooey Butter Cakes on a t-shirt, man. Everyone's going to buy it.
I do get jealous because where you're sitting right now in the studios of KMOX, about 12 minutes by car over at 60 North Euclid Avenue, there is a Shake Shack there. Have you been there? Have you been to that Shake Shack?
No, they opened it last year. I haven't visited, no.
Oh, you got to do that.
Well, people love it so much. I don't know what all the hype is. I have to try it. People go crazy for it, though.
Oh, you don't know what the hype is? That's because you haven't been. Once you go, it's all you're going to talk about on your show, I guarantee it.
Really? I would block an entire show off to talk about the Shake Shack?
Okay, maybe not an entire show.
I could.
Maybe a couple of segments.
I love talking fast food. Do you guys talk fast food on your show?
Oh, all the time. We talk about food all the time.
I love
constantly.
It. All,
I can also tell you that 13 minutes drive from you as well, over on Lindell, is a Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Have you been there?
Have not, no. Oh, no, you know, I have been there. There's a bunch of those around this area. It's been a long time, but I've been there.
Five Guys is one of my favorite go-tos. But here in Canada, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a fan of the home team, and that's the A&W.
Oh, that's a home? That's a Canadian thing, A&W?
Well, it started in the States, but when it sort of branched into Canada as its own company, it took on a life of its own.
Oh,
so now
A&W
Canada is completely different to A&W in the States.
You know, it's funny because my memories of A&W have to do with another Canadian brand. Well, at least a Canadian team, a Canadian comedy team. So when I was growing up, we had Comedy Central was just starting, and they would show reruns of Kids in the Hall over and over and over again. And I, whenever I'd watch that show, it just corresponded with when my parents would pick up A&W. So I, when I think about eating A&W, I think about sitting at home and watching Kids in the Hall.
Wow, that's an interesting comparison.
It is.
So eating a teen burger and watching Chicken Lady make her strange noises. That's the way to go. Huh?
All of those things. A&W is delicious. I love A&W.
It is. Here's the other thing I'm noticing now as well. A lot of the big burger chains, not the big guy, you know, like McDonald's is probably the biggest one, right? They're the most famous. But they're not offering a Beyond Meat burger. Everyone else seems to be offering a plant-based burger option now. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, they're starting here in St. Louis is where they actually were the test market for Burger King when they did that Impossible Whopper, which I think is now rolled out nationwide. Do they
did
have
you
them
try
in Canada?
One when they were doing it?
Yes, I did. I made a trip. It was I don't normally go to Burger King. It's a little bit out of the way from where I live, but I made a special trip, and I did a review of it. I thought that it tastes like if you were to bring a Whopper home, put it in the fridge, and then reheat it later. That's what it tasted like. So it's still good. It's just not as good as a regular Whopper, but it's still
like
very good.
It's like one of those gas station hamburgers you have to put in a microwave.
A little higher class than that one. It still tasted like a Whopper would taste. It just wasn't exactly like a Whopper, but it was still very good.
I'm a little concerned that you went out of your way to get a Impossible Burger from Burger King, yet you haven't been to the Shake Shack that's 12 minutes drive from the studios of KMOX.
No, I'll try one of these days. I don't know. I didn't even think about it. It wasn't even on my radar until you said something, so now I'm going to have to try it.
Well, you got to when you go there, here's what you need to order. Is you need to order the double-double, right? Order the double-double, and you want to get, they also, for their drinks, it's frozen custard.
Ooh, for their drinks?
Right? They're almost like custard shakes.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, so you need to do that tomorrow, if you can. Can you do that?
Drop everything and just do that.
Yeah, just you know, get the wife and the kids in the car and off you go to Shake Shack.
I'll bring it up to the wife. Now, the kids go into preschool now, so when we drop them off at school, maybe I'll just take the wife down and we'll get ourselves some Shake Shack.
Yeah, just have an early lunch, like 11:30 noon. That sounds good.
That sounds great. I want to now. Now, you guys, stop talking about this thing. I love fast food. I mean, I feel like if I were to do a podcast, it would be about eating fast food. Just one
really?
Outside of the radio program. Yeah, I love fast food.
Obviously, as we get older, you and I and everyone else knows that we've got to, you know, start watching what we eat a little bit closer than what we did in our 20s. But what is that one thing? What is that one weakness that Ryan Ranker has that he doesn't tell anyone else about? And I'll tell you what mine is, just so we're all, you know, on the same playing field here, is my weakness is this. When I finish the show at 2 a.m. Pacific, if I'm really hungry, I'm usually going to whip through the McDonald's drive-thru and get two double cheeseburgers.
Oh, that's a great menu item, isn't it? That's hard
my
to beat
weakness.
That. I'd like to go through, we have a local chain called Lion's Choice, and they have, it's kind of like an upper-class Arby's. It's a really high and roast beef, delicious. But my weakness is I'll drive through there. They have the little snackers, but I always get their little like ice cream cone. I'll always go there for ice cream. It's cheap ice cream, and you get a little roast beef sandwich with it. It's a perfect little combo.
Wow, that's an interesting pattern that ice cream cones have, huh?
Yeah, so they have the frozen custard. It's not as good as like a Ted Drew's, for example. That's another local chain here, but it's still very high-end. It's still very good. But I enjoy things like that. I'm just in general, if there's something that's close by, I love it. You know, if White Castle is close by, I'll go there. If Taco Bell is close by, or I like a good Jimmy John sandwich, things like that.
I just went onto the Lion's Choice website. I have to have an Italian beef.
Yeah, they're very good.
Oh, my goodness. Next time, Bobby, when are we taking the show to STL? We've got to get down there. I want to just eat.
You tell me.
I'm down with it.
Come anytime. We would love to have you. We have a studio ready for you.
That's good. That's good. Studio ready and someone to courier us around to the different restaurants to eat all the food, because we're just going to eat until we can't eat anymore. We're gonna have a food coma.
Let's do it. Every night we'll bring everything in. A&W. We'll get a little Lion's Choice. We'll get a little of everything.
We can do live reviews. I like this. This is going to work out well.
Oh, I don't know what it is. I don't eat fast food a lot. I would say I eat out maybe once a week. once. It's not often, and it's after church on Sunday. We'll go out and I'll let the kid or the wife pick where we eat or whatever. So sometimes it's fast food, sometimes it's a sit-down restaurant. So it's not like I'm always eating out, but when I do, I just love it. Love it, love it, love it.
And look, when you only do it once a week, it becomes more of a treat, right?
Yeah, that's what it's meant to, because I understand it's not good for you if I'm shoving down, you know, about a dozen White Castle sliders down my throat every day. Not necessarily a good thing. And I'm lucky since I'm married and my wife cooks dinner every night. So she prepares the meals and it's really nice for her to do that. So I don't really have to rely on going through the drive-thru all the time.
And when it's your job to prepare the meals, it's like, which restaurant are we going to?
Like that. Honey, which restaurant? But when it's my turn, it's I guess we're going to be ordering pizza tonight. It's more one of those deals.
Haven't you been trying those boxed food things that arrive at your house and you follow the directions and make your own meals? Haven't you been trying those out? How's that working out for you?
You know, I will say it seems like they do these promotional codes every 2 or 3 months, and then whenever they do that, we hop on real quick and we order them. So we've tried both. The Blue Apron and HelloFresh are the two different ones. And we love it. I mean, it's really good. It's more expensive than if you were to go out and buy the individual pieces at a grocery store, but it's so much easier. They just come, you know, prepackaged in a little bag, and then you just know everything you need for this meal's in this bag. And
all the thinking has been taken out of the equation. So instead of thinking, sitting down and going, geez, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? What are the options?
Yeah, for you and anyone else, I'm going to guess it's like this, where you have a hard time deciding what you want to eat. In this case, you actually have to commit to it. So you know it's coming, and then you know you're committing to it, which means that you're going to cook it. So you're trying things you normally wouldn't do because, well, you wouldn't commit to some of these steps. You're like, okay, I'm just going to do something I'm used to doing. So that kind of helps us try different things, and it kind of gives us an idea of, wow, we should do that again, or maybe we'd want to make this on our own. It's a good way to explore when you're just used to eating the same things all the time.
You have made me so hungry now. So I've still got 2.5 hours of show to do. So Ryan Recker at KMOX in St. Louis, thanks so much for making us here in Canada extremely hungry.
I know.
You're gonna be done in less than 40 minutes, yet we have to hang out here for another 2.5 hours before we can eat. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks.
Good luck with that. I saw producer Ben. You know what he tells me? He's like, oh yeah, there's a problem on one of our sister stations I need to go check out. He's over there cooking a frozen pizza. I found out he snuck out because I went to go to the restroom during the break. Boom, frozen pizza in the oven. Oh, yeah, going to go check on his sister station, huh? So he's in there right now chowing down on frozen pizza.
Wow. And we're the chumps on air doing the show. Good work.
I know. There we are. Right. On National Radio Day. That's how we're treated.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to love you and leave you. I'm going to go pay some bills here. But, Ryan, we'll chat again next week, okay?
I love it, Drex. Good to hear from you. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
There's our friend Drex. He does the late shift. He broadcasts all through Canada. He's like the Canadian counterpart to this radio program. He's based out of Vancouver, but through the great technology that we have available to us, we get to do this little segment with each other once a week on Tuesday nights. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America, we continue. And we got a little bit of time here before we check out the weather, but I saw this was a popular article online. Oh, how about this real quick? You ever get onto a website and you see a name trending and you automatically think, oh no, what happened to that person? Larry King was trending. I thought, eh boy, is this the end of the road for Larry King? I mean, I know he's up there in age, he's been around. I thought Larry King died, but no, that's not the case. Larry King is trending because he is going to divorce his 7th wife. Isn't that something? He gave me a little scare there. I said, no, not Larry King. Don't take Larry King. But it's just because he's getting a divorce. He's 85 years old. I think he still works occasionally. I don't think he's as active as he used to. But they've been married for 22 years. Come on now. This late in the game, you're going to be divorcing? So I hope you enjoyed that segment with Drex. I wanted to talk about the latest guidelines that came out with the Department of Energy and also the EPA. They have some suggestions on how you should set your thermostat, and they have set the thermostat at 78 degrees during the day, 82 degrees at night. So this is during the summer, meaning your AC won't kick on at night until the temperature in your home gets above 82. Isn't that a little crazy talk? Honestly, what do you set your thermostat at? And do you have any fights inside the home? Does one person think it should be lower than the other? Because my wife always tries to push it down lower. In fact, I have an app on my phone. I'm going to log in right now and see what she set it at, because sometimes I wonder while I'm not home. I wonder if she's playing with the thermostat and not telling me about it. Let me check online. Oh, I'm not signed in. Maybe I'll have to sign in later. But what do you keep the thermostat at your house, your apartment, whatever it is? What do you actually keep it at? And maybe in an ideal world, you tell me where you think it should be. What's that magic number? 436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. For me, I feel comfortable at like 75-ish, right around there. I could even go higher. I can do 76, 77. I don't mind that. But 82 degrees at night, that's crazy talk. No thanks. Nope. Sorry. No thanks. 82 degrees at night. I learned that very quickly when you had a kid, especially a young kid. You had to keep it temperature controlled in the room. You had to keep it anything to keep the kid sleeping as long as possible. You want to make it comfortable. So you got to keep it, you know, nice and warm or nice and cool, depending on what it is. If you put in 82 during the summer and the kid's in there, yeah, the kid's not going to be as comfortable, probably going to be waking up more often. And are you really saving a bunch of money if you're tired all the time and you're always waking up checking on the kid? No, it doesn't work right. You tell me what the perfect temperature is in the home, and I'm going to talk about this and what they recommend coming up next on Overnight America KMOX. So where do you keep the thermostat in your home? If you have central air, you probably have that magic number that just feels right. In recent guidelines came out, a suggestion from Energy Star. That's the agency you see slap their sticker on a lot of the different appliances to show that it is more energy efficient. Remember those old fridges? They lasted forever. Your mom probably had one, and maybe if she's still around, has one plugged in the basement. It probably is charging her about $50 a month just to run that stupid fridge. No energy efficiency whatsoever. But, you know, then they start to change it and things become smarter, and that really helps. So they're saying that if you want to make your home smarter, this is where you need to set the thermostat. During the day, set the thermostat at 78 degrees. At night, when you're sleeping, set the thermostat at 82 degrees or higher. 82 degrees at night. You're crazy. You know, this is like bachelor life and you're just too cheap to turn on the air. I don't know anyone listening right now that's married or has a woman in the house that would allow them to set the overnight temperature at 82 degrees. Does not make sense. Let's take some of your calls on this. What's that magic number? 436-7900. And Ed's calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Ed.
Hey. Yeah, we keep it at, I usually keep it about 70 at night.
Okay.
And then, because it's, you know, it's, your body metabolizes, you know, and you'll sleep better if it's chilly.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, cold in the house. But during the day, we bump it up to about 73.
You bump it
and
up
tonight,
to 73.
Tonight, you know, I sent you a message on Twitter.
Yeah.
And wife was bellyaching. It's like, I feel like a penguin upstairs. How is it getting colder?
So you do it for comfort. You're not looking to save money by changing the thermostat around.
Yeah, my last bill was $240.
Yes, mine was too. It was over $200 this last bill. But we saw some really hot days the last couple of weeks, really. It's been terrible out. You know, when you get these 90, 100-degree days, I don't know what else you can do. I mean, it has to be somewhat comfortable. And what's miserable is being stuck in the house at night and everything's hot and you can't sleep because of it. That's just no good.
Nope.
All right, so you're saying 70 at night, that's where you keep it.
Yep.
Is your AC running like nonstop to keep up with that?
If you have a nice windows in the house, you know, usually you keep your condenser clean outside because the cottonwood seeds will be around it, so that's important. Just go out and hose this off, and it usually helps the air conditioner work efficiently with and your filters changed.
All right, so you pay attention to these things.
Correct.
Give one of those smart thermostats?
Nope.
I do, and it tells us how often our AC is running, so we kind of get an idea of usage, which is kind of important because, you know, we try to pay attention to those things. We're definitely running it less than last year, but then again, I put a bunch of insulation in the attic where there wasn't any before, and that made a big difference.
So, yes, it will.
All right, thanks, Ed. Good to hear from you.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
There it is, 70 and 73. I don't remember what it was like growing up. I don't necessarily have a recollection of what my parents kept the thermostat at, but I know at least when my wife is involved with touching the thermostat, I know the number is going to be lower than what would be normal comfort level for me. She likes to keep it a little bit lower, a little bit more chilly. But this is what it says in part of the report that came out. Finding ways to beat the heat without busting your budget might seem mystifying. Maybe Patrick in D.C. is listening right now. He emailed me with some tricks that he was doing with his ceiling fan in order to try to drop the temperature down some. If you're listening right now, Patrick in D.C., please, please give me a call and you can tell everyone that trick and maybe we can save some bucks. I know he said he was going to call in tonight. I haven't seen him yet. Producer Ben's parents kept it at 68 when you're kids. Wow, that seems low. On top of running air conditioning, Energy Star recommends opening windows to fill the house with cool air at night and then shutting all windows and blinds in the morning to trap the cool air inside. I do that. I'll open the windows at night if it's not humid. Like tonight, right now, what was it, in downtown, 73 degrees, St. Charles was 73. There's no use in opening your windows when it's 73 and humid out, so this wouldn't be the right time. But if we look at the forecast, like Friday, Saturday, over the weekend, if the high's only 78, if we can get lows in the 60s, you better believe I'm opening those windows. Get that stinky smell out of the house. I need that once in a while. It's just been really hot the last couple of days. Remember last week? We had AccuWeather on. I wanted to get a forecast. They said, oh, you're not going to really see a relief in this hot weather until the end of September. So I get used to it. It's going to be hot for a while. I guess I'm going to be paying a lot in the electric bill. They say also air sealing your home and installing window treatments can help prevent heat gain via your doors and windows during the day, which is actually a really good tip. I mean, that you got to listen to the Handyman Show and listen here on Saturdays on KMOX. Get an idea of what you really need to be doing to your home. And then if you have any questions, you can ask it right there. Scott Mosby's excellent at that. Beth calling in from Texas. Hi.
Hi. How are you tonight, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty good.
I have learned because the way that my house is just situated that 78 degrees year-round works best for me.
Mm-hmm. And you're in Texas, so it's warm a lot down there.
Oh, yes. It was 102 today.
So much fun.
But I have a ceiling fan in every room that stays on all the time, even if the lights are off in that room.
Mm-hmm.
I have them. They're connected together. I just turn the lights off and leave the ceiling fan on.
Oh, okay.
The only time I put it below 78 is on days like today when it was over 100.
How was your temperature in the house? Like, what did it get down to in your house?
It got down to, I put it down to 76.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is it ran all day to keep it at 76.
I can't keep up. There's only so much an air conditioning unit can do when it's trying to cool a house
down.
And I
have two units. I have two units for the house.
Wow. You have dual units.
And they both were working.
How big is your house?
It's a three-bedroom, two-den, living room, kitchen kind of thing.
Okay, and are you talking about window units, or do you have, like, central air?
No, we have central air, central heat and central air.
Wow, and two units, it's necessary. Wow.
Yeah, well, when my father took in the garage and everything to make his little room out beyond the kitchen, that was too much for the big unit that did the rest of the house.
Uh-huh.
So we had to put another big unit to do that.
Uh-huh.
And we took the door down between the garage or his little apartment and the kitchen. And so the air will go between both of them. And it really has helped because at various different times in the last 2 years, I've had one or the other of them go out.
Yeah.
And they were strong enough that they can actually cool off the rest of the house.
You're kind of like an airplane where they can divert some power to the other jet just in case they need it. And so they don't go down.
It's because the way that my house and the morning sun, I don't get a whole lot of because they've got trees that kind of, they're not right next to the house, but they keep a shade up.
Yeah.
From about 11 in the morning till about 3 in the afternoon, I get straight down sun.
Oh, okay.
And that's when the air conditioning is really working the hardest.
And
that's when, if I'm not going to be here for a couple of days, I'll send it up to 80. But I will never, never not set it at least on 78. Now, in the winter, it's a good feeling at 78, unless it's one of those cold things that come down from Canada.
I can't believe that would hit even down in Texas. Yeah. You know what, too? What you're doing is you're keeping it nice and comfortable for all those raccoons that are breaking into your home. They probably love that you keep it at 78.
That's true. And this week I'm babysitting my nephew's dogs. And the dogs have discovered the fact that not only is it, you know, comfortable and there's a ceiling fan or the bed, but they have discovered that you can burrow under the covers. So I have three dogs. I have about 3 inches on this queen size bed, and that's about all they've left me. But I have these three huge dogs that take up the rest of the room.
That's how
but
it works.
They're just loving it.
They are smart. These animals, they know what they're doing. They know what they need to look for, and they don't mess
that's
around.
True. No, they don't. And it's really funny because they are so well trained that when I took a tumble, Sunday. And I was going to have trouble getting up. One of them is—he's just right there. He's like, "Okay, I'm right here. Put your arms on me. Stand up." And he stood there the whole because he's a mastiff,
Big dog.
So he actually was enough weight that I could get up and didn't have to call like the highway patrolman next door, or the fireman across the street. I could get up with using that dog. I'm going to tell my nephew to leave me the dog.
A great dog, yes. Beth, do it. You can be very useful.
They've scared off some people.
Oh, good.
But they've stayed right by my side.
Good for them. Get one. Yeah. All right, Beth. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you for that.
Have a good day. Bye bye.
So Beth is keeping all the raccoons that break into her laundry room nice and comfortable at 78 degrees in Texas when it's 102 outside. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.